Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day, fathers. And with that, we have a sort of a Father's Day message. It's from our Heavenly Father. We've got the word. Open up your Bibles there, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 26. Ezekiel chapter 26. A word from our Father. And as you're turning there, we'll be starting. I'm looking at verse 1. But let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time, Lord. We pray, Lord, that right now you open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us. Things are going on, Father's Day, there's all these distractions and stuff, but Lord, right now we just pray that you would help us to focus on your word, your message for us today. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we are, Ezekiel 26, verse 1, and it says, "And it came to pass in the 11th year, on the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, Aha! She is broken, who was the gateway of the peoples. Now she is turned over to me. I shall be filled. She is laid waste. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and I will cause many nations to come against you, as the sea causes its waves to come up. Therefore, it says, Thus says the Lord God. God has spoken. And God has spoken. And the question is, are we paying attention? Are we listening? Does it matter what the Lord is saying? And is it true? Because the Lord spoke, thus says the Lord God. And see, when he speaks, as we're looking through God's word and going through these prophecies, he warns people. He's warning his children, the children of Israel and children of Judah, the Jews. He's warning and he promises. He warns and he promises. And this is where we get prophecy. This is where prophecy comes from, these warnings and promises. They consist of what we call prophecy. And these prophecies are coming by the way of a man, this prophet Ezekiel, as he speaks forth God's word, speaking forth for God. So, what is prophecy? Prophecy, as it is here, is a prediction. A prediction is to pretell what is going to happen. And people love to predict. People love to come up with their predictions and their ideas of what things are going to be like. It happens. It's been happening. We have, you know, these people that are, you can read about these psychics that want to tell you. The only thing with these people is they're wrong sometimes. There's not a perfect prediction. You remember going back, some of you, this whole idea of what was called before the year 2000, there was this idea of Y2K and this fear when the calendar changes from 1999 to 2000. There was this problem, the computers, that when they were originally developed with this code, that there was nothing to really change the calendar to 2000, and really computers were going to crash. Airplanes were going to fall out of the sky. In fact, it was so serious. And I, you know, in background insurance business back then, every policy had, believe it or not, a Y2K exclusion. It was so believed that something would happen if it occurred as a result of this Y2K, this year 2000 calendar thing. If a claim occurred, plane fell out of the air, your car broke or whatever, there's no coverage. It was that serious. But did it happen? No, it never came about. And there's this, you know, back in 1949, there was a poll taken. Americans made predictions about what would happen at the year 2000. And here we are at the year 2014, right? So this is 65 years ago. This was a U.S. News and World Report. And it said, 88% of the people at the time, in 1949, believed by now, actually by 2000, a cancer cure would be discovered. 82% thought there would be another world war. 70% said we would not have reached the moon. 60, so far, they're all wrong, right? 60% predicted we would not elect a woman president. That's true so far. 48% felt sure we would have a 30-hour work week. Well, they got one out of five right, right? Not too good. But predictions don't work so well for humans. But God. Only God can know the future. Only God can give us his prediction, his prophecy. Because why? He's out of the dimension of time. He's already there. So if God says it, and you hear it, will you believe it? It's all here. His prophecies, he's given to us. His predictions and his promises. What's the definition of prophecy? This is it. Miracle, it's defined as a miracle of knowledge, a declaration or description or representation of something future, beyond the power of human discernment to foresee, discern, or any kind of conjecture. And this is what we have here with God and his word. We've been following the children of Israel as they've been going along, and they have not listened. They haven't listened to God. Haven't we seen that? And our Heavenly Father has given his word to his children that it's a message of love. And it's that love is a warning. It's a warning that if you don't listen and obey, things are going to go bad for you. Fathers do that as part of parenting. Mothers too, of course. That's part of parenting. It's out of love to, and it's a great responsibility. Fathers, this isn't a Father's Day message, but okay, you can take it as it is. Fathers, this is a great responsibility, a responsibility to teach and discipline. To teach and discipline children, our children, out of love. My father disciplined me. The word discipline is from the word disciple, which means to teach. And it's with this teaching and discipline, there must be consequences. There must be consequences as a result of something not being listened to or obeyed. In other words, they're just words without truth. There's nothing to them. There's nothing. Little Billy, if you don't stop hitting your sister, you're going to get it. Billy starts hitting his sister again. Little Billy, I told you, you're really going to get it. And I really mean it. I mean, sometimes I see that in the grocery store, you know. But it's there. If you really mean it, if there's any truth, it has to be some consequences behind it. Because if it never happens, it's meaningless. There's no truth. It destroys the message. See, this isn't a Father's Day lesson on parenting, but it's a message here that the Lord, he says what he means, people, and he means what he says. And that's what we have here in God's word. He says what he means, and he means what he says. As we are to take him at his word. And that's what we can see in past weeks. We've seen it. The Lord's been warning his children. And he loves. Listen and obey. Quit being so arrogant and stiff-necked, rebellious. And I want things to go well for you because I love you. And I want to bless you. But if you go against my ways, the Lord says, the Father says to his children, you're going to lose. We have come to that place in Ezekiel. The Lord has warned them for all this time since chapter 1, and they have not listened and obeyed, and it's time to administer the discipline. It's time. It's predicted, it's prophesied, and it's promised. It happened as promised. It's the year 587 BC, and it's sad. Because it's tough to administer discipline. As a parent, you know it's difficult. It's always hard. You hear the thing, this is going to hurt me worse than it's going to hurt you. It really doesn't. But it feels that way. It really does. But you know, it broke the Lord's heart. What happened? In fact, flip back to chapter 24, a couple chapters in Ezekiel. want you to note this. It says, verse 1, again, chapter 24, again, in the ninth year, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel is saying, son of man, write down the name of the day. This very day, the king of Babylon started his siege against Jerusalem. This very day. The Lord makes it so clear. He gives a specific day, a specific time. Mark it on your calendar because this is it. Time is up. The consequence is coming. The discipline is happening. The Lord allowed the Babylonian army to come and put a siege around Jerusalem. As the Lord promised, the Babylonians would come and destroy them if they don't turn to Him. And it finally happened. It began around 589, and it continued, and the siege lasted. What a siege is the army of this nation of Babylon, the Babylonians, they bring tens of thousands of soldiers and surround the city. The city has walls. They're fortified. You can't get in. So what they do is they surround it, and they stay there, and they camp there. Nothing can go in. Nothing can come out. And they starve the people literally to death. And that's what happened. It took 18 months. And finally, they were so weak, conditions got so bad, there was recording of eventually cannibalism. It was just the worst. The people finally just give up. It's terrible. And it happened. The Lord allowed it if they didn't turn to Him. But see, what happened is the Babylonians, in their being allowed by the Lord, went too far. They were exceedingly brutal. They went way across the line. They went on and tore down the walls of Jerusalem, and they went into the temple. They tore down every home, and they actually tore down the temple of God, stone by stone. They slaughtered people. They took the few people out of there to Babylon, 200 miles away. Now, as a parent, if you're a parent or may be able to relate to this, do you want other people disciplining your children? You don't. It's difficult. And it's, I don't want anybody disciplining my children. And the Lord saw this happening. And it obviously, He's going to deal with Babylon, as we're going to see later. But Jerusalem was totally destroyed. But first, let's understand this, that there are other cities around Jerusalem. There are other cities that are surrounding, just like in Israel today, there's all these nations surrounding them that are enemies of the Jews. They're enemies of Israel. There's other cities that were surrounding Jerusalem at the time that were enemies. Enemies of God and enemies of the Jewish people. And just as someone hurt his children, God will deal with those other cities. That's what we're looking at here in our passage here, is that the Lord spoke to Abraham, people, 1,500 years before this was written. And He said in Genesis 12:2, this is a prophecy. This is a promise. He says, I will make you, you Jews, you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And you, in you, all the families of the earth, and in you, all the families of the earth, shall be blessed. This is a prophecy. This is a promise. And the Lord will fulfill His promises. Not like people, but God will. And this is the promise that you can claim today. And God's word is eternal. His promises are eternal. His prophecies are true. And they apply now. But see, in our passage, what happened? Look at verse 1, chapter 26, back there again. Again, it says, and it came to pass in the 11th year on the first day of the month that the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, because Tyre, that's a city, has said against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken, who was the gateway of the peoples. Now she is turned over to me. I shall be filled. She is laid waste. This specific date's recorded. The time is set. A word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, and this city called Tyre that has become an enemy of God and His people. It's a city that's along the northern coast of, actually north of Israel, in Lebanon. It's in that area. and it's there right on the coastline. And the city name means Tyre, literally means rock. And it was a rock fortress, like this. A city consists of these walls, but what happened is Tyre was originally from the Phoenician people. The Phoenician were called the sea people. Tyre had a great navy. They had all these ships, and they had all these merchant ships. And as a result, they were able to go all over the then known world and collect all these goods and all this merchandise and trade in their city. And they amassed this great wealth. There was this great, powerful city, and they were protected. They had their navy, they had the ocean on one side. And then when they heard that the Babylonians wiped out Jerusalem, they celebrated. Yoo-hoo! Jerusalem's wiped out. It's broken, it's destroyed. That's what, aha! You know, it's like, hey, stick it to you, you know, all that. It says she was the gateway of the people, speaking of Jerusalem. See, Jerusalem was a trade center. And in order to go from the east to the west, to the Mediterranean Sea on the west, you had to go through Jerusalem. And it became this great place of trade. And, you know, of course, they would take their taxes. But what happens, bottom line, is they were competition with Tyre. They were cutting into their profits. But Jerusalem is gone. And now it says they are filled. They will be filled because Jerusalem's gone. But you remember what I just read in Genesis 12? Don't ever forget Genesis 12. The Lord will bless those who bless his children. The Lord will curse those who curse them. So here, the prediction, the prophecy for Tyre. It will happen. Verse 3, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against you, as the sea causes its waves to come up. This is written down as a future event. All right? This was recorded. As we said, the established date is recorded. There's a time set. This was written before it happened. The Lord, it says, will cause many nations to come up against you. And so it's not long after Jerusalem fell, the Babylonians came there, wiped them out. What did they do? The first thing they did is they looked around. Where else can we conquer? Oh, there's Tyre up the road by the coast. Let's go. And Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, went over there. And as it says in verse 4, and they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for spreading nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken, says the Lord God. It shall become plunder for the nations. Also her daughter villages, which are in the field, shall be slain by the sword. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. If God says it, believe it. For it says, verse 7, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings and horses, with chariots and with horsemen and an army with many people. He will slay with a sword your daughter villages in the fields. He will heap up a siege mound against you, build a wall against you, and raise a defense against you. He will direct his battering rams against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. And it happened in 586 B.C. It started. The Babylonians came and put sieges around their city. But see, the problem is, Tyre was a great, powerful city. And where was it? Right along the coast. So they had this ability to still bring in goods by their ships. Babylonians didn't have a navy. But what did Nebuchadnezzar do? He stayed there for 18 years. Put that city in siege for 18 years until finally he was able to breach them and destroy that city. And then he went after the sister cities. And then they will plunder your riches and pillage your merchant. Look at verse 12, of chapter 26. They will plunder your riches and pillage your merchandise. They will break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses. They will lay your stones, your timber, and your soil in the midst of the water. And that's what happened. And they completed the destruction, but the only problem is God's words and his promises are true. Because I want you to notice the verse, it says they. See the pronoun in verse 12? It changes from he to they. Because here's what happened. Nebuchadnezzar could not completely destroy Tyre, because what they did is the people took their ships and they had another part of the city offshore on an island about a half a mile away. And those people took their city and literally moved it and left what they had it destroyed, to this island. Fortified it, built walls. They were safe. But it says that the city was wiped out. So what happened? Does the city exist today? The answer is no. It doesn't. It's gone. Because no one knows what happened until 200 years later, when an archaeologist came along. And they happened to see some men with their nets fishing along the coast, drying their nets. And the archaeologist started looking around, and they noticed that there's all these rocks that aren't native to the area, natural. They're broken. They're stones that were carved. And they realized this is the site of where Tyre was just 200 years ago. And they found the ruins just as Ezekiel wrote 300 years before, because what happened is 250 years later, after Nebuchadnezzar, there was a young great king, the son of the king of Macedonia by the name of Alexander. Alexander the Great, the king of Greece, came to that area as he was destroying and conquering. The Grecian Empire was doing their thing at the time and destroying everything and becoming the king of the world, Alexander the Great. And it happened, as it says here, he went, and at verse 14, I will make you like the top of a rock. I shall be a place of spreading nets, and you shall never be rebuilt, for I, the Lord, have spoken, says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to Tyre, will the coastlands not shake at the sound of your fall, when the wounded cry, when slaughter is made in the midst of you? Because this is referring to Alexander coming. Because God spoke it, and it happened. Because what Alexander did is he took all that rubble that he saw. For 7 months, he tried to attack the city. It didn't work with his ships. They had a few. But then he realized there's all this rubble. He took all the rubble that was from the original city that was destroyed, and he built a causeway, a road to this island, a half a mile long, so he could get his equipment and his weapons and his siege stuff to there to destroy it. And it happened. If you have any doubt about the Word of God and its accuracy, the fact of the Word of God, just examine the fulfillment of the prophecies. It's perfect. And it happened. People have tried to disprove the Word of God over and over. They've tried to disprove these prophecies, and they can't. So we can now look back on this 2020 hindsight and see what's going on. This miracle that God's prophecy is fulfilled. Promises of God, these prophecies, this is prophetic predictions, are the most viable proof of the Bible having divine inspiration. Someone by the name of Stoner calculated the fact the probability of all these things happening in chapter 26, the probability is 1 in 75 million for all these historical events to occur. If you can find one prophecy of God that has not been fulfilled, then you can throw the whole thing out. Throw the whole Bible out. You can do it. But it has been, for 2,500 years, it hasn't been done. They've tried, but they cannot do it. Prophecies are promises, and promises are prophecies. The exactness and literal fulfillment of this is proven by the Lord's prophecies. So you can trust God's word. We have many prophecies, over 300 prophecies, speaking of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament as the Messiah in the New Testament. Over 300 that Jesus Christ fulfilled those. In fact, Jesus himself had prophecies and promises in his lifetime. He was speaking to his disciples and he told them ahead of time what would happen. That he would be arrested, that he would be beaten, he would be crucified, and he would rise from the dead. He also told his disciples ahead of time, go wait up in the room there until it's time and you're going to have this, the Holy Spirit come upon you. It happened. All these promises. The Lord is giving you, just like prophecy here, promises specific to your life. He has left you promises. They are sure and they are certain, just as we've read here in Ezekiel, for you. But we must trust him. We must trust in him. And trust him at his word. That all the Lord asked of Judah is that they would just listen and trust him. But they refused and rebelled rather than believed. I challenge you. Doesn't it make sense logically, really, logically, to knowing all these prophecies the Lord predicted, they were fulfilled. We can see them accurately, historically, they're being fulfilled. Does it make sense? He will fulfill them with you as you believe Jesus Christ and trust in the Lord. Don't you believe he's going to provide these same prophecies and promises that he has for you? Romans 11:29 says, "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." In other words, the New Living Translation says, "For God's gift and his call can never be withdrawn." All these promises and prophecies are for you. He will take his word and he gives it to you and it cannot be taken back. The greatest promise you have is one of my favorite verses. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. That's a prophecy and a promise. It's foundational. Trust with all your heart. I don't have to try to figure it out. No. I have to lean on my own understanding and kind of, oh, I can figure this thing out. No. But you can acknowledge, wow, look what God's doing there. And trust him. And he will give you to the next step. Sometimes he doesn't give you a big light down the tunnel. I can't see what's ahead. But what he will do is he'll give you another step. He will light up another step which you can take. The next step. What's happened sometimes is we take the next step and then we see it's still dark and we go, I'm going to jump anyway. And woo! Instead of waiting and trusting the Lord, not leaning on our own understanding. It's a prophetic promise. He will give you this best life. It may not be easy, but it will be the best. It's prophetic. Maybe you're concerned with finances. Here's a promise, a prophecy. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles work. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Isn't that nice? That's a promise. He knows you already need them. He knows your need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's a promise. Therefore, because of that, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about one own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We have enough trouble today. Don't worry about tomorrow. The Lord will take care of today. But we doubt. The Lord's going to fulfill it. But we doubt. I just got through jury duty last week. I was on a trial. Never been selected before. Lucky me. And one of the situations, it was a criminal trial, and the prosecution has to present their evidence. This is what happened. These are the facts. The defense, their job, all they have to do is create reasonable doubt. Reasonable doubt. What does that mean? Listen, people, with all these promises with the Bible, you still have an element of doubt. All right, let's admit it. You hear it, you read it. Yeah, this is true. I believe it. But then there's that little doubt. But see, the thing is, you believe it beyond reasonable doubt. You still know. You see the facts. Wow. Did you see what God did with Tyre as he predicted 100 years before? He'd wipe it out, and then he'd completely wipe it out, and then people would be spreading nets. It happened to the T. So you go, well, yeah, but I believe it. So it's okay. But you believe it. You still grab it. You still hang on to it. And you go back and, oh, it's okay. Because what happens is the enemy starts saying, oh, you're doubting. You really don't believe it. So now it's not even going to come true. Don't go there. Keep basing your thoughts and your beliefs on the facts. These are the facts. God promises. He prophesies. And he will provide. Watch the Lord fulfill his promises for you. Here's another one. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All your need. Finances, emotional need, spiritual needs. It's a prophecy for you. Can you believe it? Believe it. Grab it. It's a promise. Give him a chance. Don't try to fix it on your own. He will do it. That's what really gets us in so much trouble. Gets me in so much trouble. Because I tend to be a control freak. Ask anyone that knows me. The Lord's always, knock it off. I'll take care of you. I got you. It's so amazing. And here's another one. You still have promises of promises and prophecies yet to be fulfilled in your life. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. Did you hear that? Confidence. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. So amazing. God's word is true. Believe it. Be blessed by it. There are still prophecies yet to be fulfilled, even here, in the word of God. It's in the future, but eventually they will be fulfilled. We're going through Daniel right now, looking at some of those prophecies that will be fulfilled, that are also Revelation. It's throughout the prophets. It's, in fact, at the beginning of the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, what will be, it says this, Revelation 1:3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things, which means just grab onto them, which are written in it, for the time is near. Be blessed, people. As you know, we have a church we're in need. We're going to have to move because the city wants us to put about $100 million into this place. Not that quite. About $50,000. So we're looking for another place. But to be honest with you, it's dark out there. I don't know where the next step is. But I know God has a plan. He brought us here this far. And then we just keep trusting him. He provided all of this. And I know the prophets, the prophecies and the promises of God, he will not let us down. He will not let you down. So what is your future like? Are you looking for his promises? Are you trying to figure it out on your own? Claim his promises. They are certain. Now I just want to share this as I finish the message up. I happened to notice on my phone there was a post from a friend of mine from school of ministry years back, and he posted a prayer request on my phone. I want to share it to you because it was amazing. After I finished this message, it just popped up. And Phil writes this. He has a picture of his wife in the hospital. She has this wonderful smile on her face. And he says, "Rose is back from Loma Linda Hospital. Her prognosis is not good. The tumor has grown 16 centimeters by 18 centimeters in her right lung. The thoracic oncology surgeon said that this was not removable in February, and it's not treatable today. She is at peace with this fact, and we are working on her comfort day by day. Please continue to pray for us and our family. We trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, Jesus Christ, and know He will direct our paths." God has a perfect promise for them. People, all things, it says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love God and those who are the called according to His purpose. That's a promise. That's a prophecy. Let's pray. Lord, we know there's needs out here. There's needs that we all have. And Lord, there's also doubts. Father, I pray right now that You would take those doubts and just remove them. Let them know, everybody, all of us, Lord, know how much You love us. That You have a perfect plan and a promise to fulfill a prophecy in each of the lives here. That You want to fulfill Your promises. That we can take Your word as it says. Lord, thank You for Your reassurance. We thank You for who You are and what You've done for us. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, dying for us. Lord, just fill us now with Your peace and Your comfort, that we can trust You with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding. Acknowledging You, Lord, and You will direct our path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.